Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Grace Chapel. It's our Sunday service, and it looks like we're having a beautiful day outside, and I hope that those of you that are listening online are having a blessed day as well. Lord, we just ask that you guide us and direct us. Give us your wisdom. Incline our hearts towards you and help us to grow and move forward in that which you have for us. Amen. Now, I just got something quick to share. I know over this last week we had some folks come out and visit. And Ann had mentioned last night about, you know, when you have a guest, it can either be, well, I guess having a guest is always a blessing. But some guests are different. Some guests are family. Some guests, it's easy. Just be yourself. They can be their selves, and you can just be together. Other guests might be a little bit more difficult. They got to be catered to. They got to be pampered. They got to be entertained constantly. And that's tiring. But when you're visiting with somebody that's of like mind and like faith, somebody that's brethren, you have fellowship. And you share that love between one another. And that's not a burden. That's actually food. That's food for your soul. I know that while we've been down here, you know, we're guests, we're visiting, but I can speak for myself and say that I'm comfortable. I feel as though I'm at home. I don't feel as though I need to walk on eggshells and, you know, just try. I can just be. And that's a peaceful, comfortable feeling. And I like it. And I look forward to everybody that's about to make their trip down here in the next week and a half, 2 weeks. We're going to start seeing some folks come in. And I look forward to the fellowship that we're going to share, you know, one another with everybody. And I think that's going to be a good time. How about we have some music?
Praise the Lord, hallelujah, I don't care what the devil's gonna do. Are you all excited about Jesus Christ being the King of Kings?
Amen.
Are you excited about Jesus Christ being the King of your life? Are you excited about the fact that you have been given the blessing of knowing who Jesus Christ is, that He is the Son of God, that He died for your sins, He was resurrected for your righteousness, and He sits at the right hand of the Father on high, waiting for you to appear?
Amen.
That's something to get excited about. Sing it.
Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings.
One more time.
Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings.
Yeah, give the Lord a cheer. Hallelujah. We got a little group here right now. But this little group's going to grow into a big group. In a couple of weeks, it's going to be full. Amen. And hopefully we'll have people here that are excited.
Amen.
Now, old Melanie's over here all excited, you can tell.
This is excited for her.
There you go. That's excited for her. And there's Scott out there, he's kind of excited. You know, it reminds me of the different types of dogs out there. You know, you got your Jack Russell dogs, they're excited, they're all over the place. But then you got your other dogs. They're just excited, but they just look at you.
Dutch.
I think that's why Jeremiah said, be not afraid of the faces of the people. Because you get up front here and you start talking and you get some weird faces looking at you. I mean, they look weird. They'll look at you like... And when I first started years ago, it intimidated me. It scared me. Now, I know you're not scared, and, you know, Cheryl's not nervous, Bob or anybody else, but I got scared because I'd have to stand up in front of people. I don't like standing up in front of people. I really don't. I like the one-on-one, you know. That's what I like. But to stand up in front of people always scared me and always made me nervous, and I didn't like it. But you know what? I learned it wasn't about what I liked. It wasn't about what pleased me. It was about what pleased the Father. Amen. And pleased the Lord Jesus Christ. And that takes me over to Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to start with verse 19. In fact, it's the last thing that Jesus said in Matthew 28. I'll give you all a little bit there. We'll back up to 18. We'll do 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, who's them? The disciples, the 11 disciples. And he said this, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Everybody say all.
All.
All power. Not some. Not a little bit. All power. Now, if you think about that for a minute. All power given unto Jesus. Both that power which is in heaven and that power which is in earth. Now, watch this carefully. If I be in Jesus... If I be part of the body of Christ, Where is that power? To me. If you be in the body of Christ, it's in you. Jesus is the head of the body. You know, the head, that's that thing that sits on top, makes all decisions, tells the body what to do. Tells the body to go here, the body goes there. Tells the body to come over here, it comes over here. Tells the mouth to speak, the mouth speaks. Tells the ears to hear, the ears hear. Amen?
Amen.
So if all power in heaven and earth was given to Jesus Christ, and through his death and resurrection, when we receive him, we become part of him. We become part of his body. We are joined with him through baptism. Then that power in heaven and earth is in us. But it seems like sometimes or another, people need to wake up to that fact. They don't seem to realize that. They don't seem to get it. I remember years ago living in Chulioda in my little house, sitting in my little chair, moaning and groaning because things weren't going my way. And the Lord said, Richard, what are you doing? Well, so I'm sitting here reading. Well, how are you doing? And I said, well, I guess I'm okay under the circumstances. He said, what are you doing there? I said, what am I doing where? Under the circumstances. Don't you know that I've overcome the world? And it was a light bulb for me. Because even if I was a little piece of skin cell on the bottom of his heel, it meant that I was still had overcome the world. If Jesus had overcome the world, all power in heaven and earth been given to him. I am in him. Even if I'm a little nothing on the bottom of his heel, that still puts me above the world.
Amen.
And the circumstances in the world. Now he goes on to say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, you go out to most churches and they take you out and they say, you got to be baptized. Yes, amen, 150. I want to be baptized. All right, so they take you out to a puddle of water. And some, you know, different preachers do it different ways. You got the ones that'll grab you and dunk you, hold you under, baptize you in the name of the Father. Pull you up, throw you under again. Baptize you in the name of the Son. Pull you up, throw you back under again. Baptize you in the name of the Holy Ghost. You got some that do it that way. Then you got some that just hold you under and finish it. I always wondered, you know, if I were to baptize somebody and count to 100 by halves while I held them under the water, never have to worry about them sinning again, would I? And oh, what a miracle it would be if they were raised from the dead when they come out. I remember my grandson, I believe it was my grandson, Keith, wanted to be baptized. And he was asked, do you know what it means to be baptized? And he said, yeah. And Steve said, well, what's that? He said, you're going to drown me and I'm going to die. Now that was a kid. And if I was as an adult, said I wanted to be baptized, and they said to me, you realize we're going to drown you and you're going to die. I said, I'll change my mind. No, I ain't going to get that done here. But this kid thought he was going to die, but he was willing to do that for Jesus Christ. And that made me ashamed.
Amen.
Now, you got some churches that sprinkle. But you know, they all got it wrong. Because Jesus didn't say here, hold them under the water and say in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. He's speaking of three baptisms here. He's speaking of the baptism of the Father, which is blood. It's the Father that baptizes you in the blood of Jesus. He is the Savior. Jesus is the sacrifice. It is the Father who gave Jesus as your sacrifice that saves you, and it's through his blood. So the Father here is the baptizer. And then the second one here, in the name of the Son, he's speaking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, where Jesus is the baptizer. And when he's speaking of the baptism of the Holy Ghost here, or when he's speaking of the Holy Ghost here, in the name of the Holy Ghost, he's speaking of the baptism of water into the body of Christ, for it is the Holy Spirit that baptizes you into the body of Christ. So we got three baptisms here: blood, water, and spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And these three baptisms together are one. We have what? What does the word say? For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And we have three who bear witness on the earth: water, spirit, and blood. And these three agree in one. So you see, the three baptisms are the witness of the Trinity in heaven. You receive the three baptisms, you are testifying of the Trinity of God: Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one God. Not a panel of gods joined together in agreement, as some people try to teach, but one God. And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
His name is Jesus. And he has been with us from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's the Word? Jesus. All right. He says here, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And the end of the world is the end of the age. He's with them till the end of the age. What age? The church age. When he returns to take his people up. All right. What are these things we're to teach? What are these things we're to teach? Well, I've already been teaching you some of it. But I'm to teach you, we're to teach what? That Jesus is Lord. That we're to love one another. That we're to have fellowship one with another. That we're to put others before ourselves. That we're to serve God. We're to teach to serve God. You know one of the saddest things to me? There's a Christian who's afraid to witness. It's one of the saddest things to me. A Christian who is not prepared or ready to go forth and share the good news. In fact, sometimes I wonder if they ever got the good news. You know, like the guy says, preacher, you turned me off. I ain't turned you off. You ain't never been turned on. You got to get turned on. And boy, I'll tell you, when you get turned on by Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, that light switch fuses. It don't come off.
Amen.
It don't come off. It stays on. You might get bent, spindled, and mutilated a little bit. You might get walked on, trod on, stomped on, talked about, hated, and everything else. But you know what? You're still going to have that switch on, and you're still going to be on fire for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My father asked me one day, years and years ago, he said, "Davey, why do you preach?" And I said, "Because I have to." He said, "I don't understand." I said, "Well, Dad, let me explain it to you like this. Go drink a keg of beer and don't pee. And you'll understand." You see, if you've got Jesus in you and you've got the Holy Ghost in you and you're serving God, even if it's just doing a little job somewhere, something's going to well up in you and you're just going to have to speak out.
Amen.
You're going to have to. But the sad thing is a lot of people who want to do it don't know what to say. And therefore they let fear keep them from speaking out. You got a clamp on it. You got to get that clamp off. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's look over here at Ephesians. I know it's in here. It was there yesterday. I saw it. It's hiding over there by Galatians. We're going to go to chapter 6 and verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." See, how can you be strong in the power of his might? Might. Well, you be in him. You put your faith in him. You don't put your faith in yourself. Look, we all fall short in our flesh of the glory of God. We do stupid things. We say stupid things. We feel stupid things. We think stupid things in the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
But we're not sold under that sin anymore. We were sold under it in the beginning. We were sold under the curse in the beginning when we were born. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're no longer sold under that. We've been set free of that. We've been set free in the Lord Jesus Christ to serve him in our mind and in our spirit. And that's a freedom that nobody can take away from you. And by putting your faith in that and looking at that, you then can be strong in the power in the Lord and in the power of his might. You do that by not thinking about the things that want to draw you down. Not thinking about the things that are selfish and all about me and how I feel and how I'm being treated and what people think of me, but rather, what do I think of Christ? And what do I want him to think of me? Goes on. Put on the whole armor of God. We're going to get to one part of armor that deals with what I'm talking about. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, when I first became a Christian, and I heard this, put on the whole armor of God, I thought that was pretty cool. I had a special place in my closet for the armor of God. And I'd get up in the morning, and I'd put my helmet on, you know, my breastplate, my girdle. You know, I'd put all this stuff on. And the Lord blessed me in it. He did. He probably laughed. Because, see, I thought that was my armor. But it wasn't my armor. We're to put on the armor of God. There's only one suit of armor. God doesn't have a bunch of suits of armor. He's only got one suit of armor. And guess who's wearing it? Jesus is wearing it. So how do you put on the armor of God? By putting on Jesus. And this armor is made up of, well, let's go on a little bit. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. That evil day is any time Satan comes against you. He may come against you through friends or so-called friends. He may come against you from people in the world. He may come against you in sickness. He may come against you in disease. He may come against you all kinds of ways. The way you stand is in Jesus. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In other words, watching out for the others. Watching out for others. But the one I want to hit on right here is your loins girded about by truth. Now what's that mean? That means you got a belt on. You know, it's embarrassing to be out in public walking around and your belt to come off and your pants to fall down around your ankles. That would be embarrassing, especially for Charlie Hawker. I named him my name, so maybe somebody will get a chuckle out of that. Charlie Hawker, well, we won't go any further. You can just figure it out for yourself. It would be embarrassing for him. Amen. Amen. All right. It's embarrassing if you walk in public and your pants fall down. It is just as embarrassing to walk in public and not be able to speak the truth because you don't know it. If you have an opportunity to witness and you don't know what to say, you're embarrassed. And most Christians don't go forth and witness the great things of God because they're afraid of being embarrassed. I know somebody for years didn't want to sing or play in church because that person was afraid of being embarrassed. Amen. People look at me. They'll see me. Is that what you used to say?
There was that, but I was afraid of disappointing you.
Yeah.
And making you upset.
Oh, you can't disappoint me. You're my daughter. See? How long is it going to take you to learn that?
Evidently, quite a while.
You've been my daughter now for how long?
29 years.
29 years. All right? And you haven't learned yet that you can't disappoint me.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
What?
You can't disappoint God. Because God knows more about you than you do.
I know. I tend to forget that like an idiot.
And you cannot disappoint him. Because he loves you. And that goes for all of you out there. If you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, God loves you. And you can't disappoint him. Yeah, you may do stupid things. But he covers it. He covers it with the blood. He covers it with the grace. So that when he looks upon you, he doesn't see stupid. He sees the grace. He sees Jesus. And what's neat, when you're walking in Jesus and you're walking in that armor of God, when the devil comes at you, he don't see you. He sees Jesus. Because you're in that armor. You're in that body. And when he sees Jesus, he gets scared. And he leaves. He exits stage left, right, down, any way he can. Am I making sense to anybody here?
A lot.
Get in the Word. Let's go over to let's go to 2 Timothy. And I'm about finished here. There it is. Chapter 2. Verse 15. You want to know how not to be embarrassed? You want to know how not to be ashamed? You want to know how not to be intimidated? Here it is. He tells Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Study the word. I was talking to somebody the other night about not having to know all the religions in the world or all the false stuff in the world. You don't need to know all that. All you need to know is the truth. And if you know the truth, when the lie comes, you'll know it. And by having the truth, you'll have all you need to battle it and to defeat the lie. Amen.
Amen.
So the deal is here, study. Now, I read this years ago. I can be so stupid. I used to spell it D-U-M-B, stupid. Because I thought that meant to go out and buy all the commentaries that I could buy that anybody had ever written about the Bible. And I had them all stacked up by my chair. And I'd read them and read them and read them and read them and read them. And one day the Lord spoke to me very clearly. He said, Richard, what are you doing? Well, I'm reading this commentary. Why? Well, I want to know what he knew about you. And he said, well, read the book he read. And you won't believe my answer. Stupid. What book was that, Lord? He never answered me. I think he just shook his head and said, ah. It was about a week or two later, it finally dawned on me. Oh, the Bible. So that's what I did. I studied and I studied and I studied and I studied. And I still study and I study. And when I'm not studying with a book in my hand, I'm studying it with a book in my heart and in my mind. And that's what you need to do. Well, I can't read good. That's all right. God can read fine. And he can give it to you to read good if you want to do it. You know, the thing about the devil's not a gentleman. He tries to make people do things they don't want to do. But God and the Holy Spirit, they'll never make you do anything you don't want to do. So if you don't want to read, they're not going to like to read, make you read. You don't want to witness, they're not going to make you witness. You don't want to be well, they're not going to make you well. You don't want to be healthy? They're not going to make you healthy. You don't want to be loving others more than yourself? They're not going to make you love others more than yourself. See, you got to make up your mind when you decide you want to serve God. You got to make up your mind to serve God the way he says do it. And the way he says do it right here, study to show thyself approved unto God. Not unto man, unto God. a workman. What's that? That needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's like what back in Matthew. You got these preachers, the Bible says, Paul says, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They go out here and they'll tell you that baptism there means baptizing in the name of the Holy Spirit, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's all water baptism. And that's not, because they haven't rightly divided the word of truth. And how can you rightly divide the word of truth if you don't have the word of truth in you? You got to get it in you. You got to get it in you before you can get it out of you. Nature even shows us that. This is going to sound a little bit stupid to some people, but I knew a guy one time who said, I can't poop. Well, when was the last time you ate? Oh, it's been a long time. You got to get something in before you can get it out. Amen?
Amen.
And if you want the Word of God to come out of you, you've got to get the Word of God in you. And maybe your eyes are messed up. Maybe it's hard for you to read. Maybe it's hard. Well, read only 5 minutes. Well, I can't understand what I've read when I'm finished. That's all right. He understands. And you get it in there. You get it in your spirit. And he'll do the rest. You see, your body, we all know the body needs food to exist. Amen? Amen? Some of us think we need more food than others. And it shows. But the soul needs food to survive. That's your mind. Without communicating with other people, you go crazy. You go insane. Because communicating with other people is food for the soul. Now, some of the food you get ate through good. It's junk food. Some of the food you get may be good food. So you got to decide where you're going to get your food at, you know. Get the good stuff or get the bad stuff. But the spirit also needs food. And if you don't feed the spirit, your spirit is just a shriveled up nothing weakling. And you wonder why you can't have dominion over anything. So maybe you can't eat gobs and gobs and gobs of the word at one time. Maybe you can only eat a little bit at a time. Start with that. Start with that. Don't worry about your natural understanding, whether you understand it all or not. Your spirit will understand it. Your spirit will understand it. And in time, you will understand it. I promise you. If my twin sister, who had epilepsy and never went to school because they said she couldn't learn, she was crazy. If she could learn to read the Bible because she asked God to let her read it, then by God, anybody can learn to read the Bible. I remember Darlene sitting in the living room, Chuliota, on Fifth Street. She had a Bible out. She had her finger. She's doing this. And the woman who was visiting my mother said, oh, isn't that cute? Your little girl's reading the Bible. And my mother said, she can't read. And the woman said, what? No, she's just pretending she can't read. And Darlene, I remember this as clear as a day. Darlene said, yes, I can read. And mother got mad. My mother got mad. She told her to come over there and bring the Bible with her. Mother turned, pointed to the thing and said, read it. Darlene read it perfectly. She pronounced words right that I can't pronounce right today. And it freaked my mother out. Darlene was just a little child at the time. She asked God to let her read. And she believed he'd let her. And he did. She grew up and became one of the big shots in the Red Cross. So, when it says all things are possible to them that believe, I know that it is true. All things are possible. But God has called us to go out and to teach those things that Jesus taught the 11. They put it in the book for us to know, and we're to learn it and go forth and preach it. That doesn't mean some. Well, it means that some may be called to preach on street corners. But not all are. You may just be called to be sitting in a coffee shop somewhere and somebody say something and you tell them about the love of Jesus. If that's what you're called to do, then praise God, do it. But I'll tell you what, you can't get more in until you let some out. Amen.
Yeah.